All right. Thank you, Pastor. And it's so good to be here tonight. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. I am feeling much better tonight. I might have a few coughing spells, but that's about it. And the Lord was really good today. Thank you. I want to thank the Tuckers for dropping by and dropping off some soup. Boy, that was some good soup that she made for me today. And thank you, church. You've been such a blessing, and you've been patient through all this. And thank you, Pastor, for not canceling the meeting when you heard I was sick. I'm sure it maybe crossed your mind. But I'm confident that the Lord wanted this this week, and that this is the way he wanted it. And he's been working a lot on my heart and led me to Romans chapter 12 today. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I was originally going to preach a different message tonight, but the Lord worked on my heart. And I remember the first revival I preached here, I preached a good part of Romans chapter 12. So it's kind of funny because this is part two of that sermon, kind of a continuation. And there's something in this passage of Scripture that the Lord just really has worked on my heart about. And I want to bring it before you tonight. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and have a time of prayer. And I want you just to take a moment tonight and pray and ask God, actually give God permission to work on your heart. Give him liberty. And we need to prepare our hearts before we hear the word of God. And I know we've had a very busy day today, and I thank you for coming tonight. And I don't know what you went through today and having to go through all the stress. Maybe you had to fight the traffic this morning and work all day, and then had to fight traffic on the way home, and had to quickly eat some dinner and get here. And so I appreciate you coming tonight. I do not take it for granted. But let's take a moment, and I want you to just pray where you're at. Let's have kind of an invitation before we get into the message. I want you to just give God permission to work on your heart and convict you and give him liberty and say, God, work on my heart. Show me some things. Expose, Father, if there's anything that's coming between me and you tonight, expose it in my heart. Let's go ahead and do that, and then I'll say a prayer, and then we'll get into this passage tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for your word and how good it is, Father. And I pray that tonight you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your strength would be made perfect in weakness once again, and that you would take over during this time, and that you would help, Lord, help us tonight. There could be some healing that takes place tonight in some hearts, and I pray that that would indeed be the case if there's anyone here that has a hurting heart, Father, that you would indeed heal them, Lord, and that you would also motivate us to serve you, Father, fervently, God. And I pray that you just be with this time tonight that we're together here, Father, and this could be the last time that we get to meet like this. You could come, even in the midst of this service, you could come back, and so help us not to take it for granted, Lord, and help us just to really pay attention and do the work that you want us to do tonight. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name, amen. And I hope that throughout the day today you just thought about the goodness of God. And that's what my goal was in bringing the message the other day. And I was even just thinking about it today and letting it permeate my heart. And that's kind of something that I've used oftentimes just to get back on track. When I can start to complain a little bit, and it's easy to do that when you're sick. It's easy to do that, you know, when things don't go as planned. But if you just start thinking about all the blessings and count your blessings, name them one by one, and think of all the wonderful things that God has done, it just changes things, and it just makes you want to give it all back to Him. It really makes you want to serve Him. So I hope that that has settled in your heart, and that you do not take this church for granted tonight, and do not take your preacher for granted. You know, it's so sad. I just talked with a young man not too long ago that started a church, and his pastor was only 50 something years of age in Lubbock, Texas, and he passed away of cancer. And I was there at this man's church, and I said, "You miss your preacher, don't you?" He said, "I sure do." I used to be able to call him, and he started a church out of that church. And his pastor was very influential in helping get that church started. And he says, "I miss him so bad." And he was the one that I could call and say, "What do I do here, Pastor? And what do I do there?" And he said, he just said, "I wish he was here." So do not take your pastor for granted. Do not take his wife for granted. The Lord is so good sending a man of God like Pastor Asbury here and having this church and having the church family that you have. And I would ask you just to not take it for granted. So let's get into this passage of Scripture tonight. In the first part, of course, we have the most famous verses 1 and 2. And this is what I taught on the last time, I believe. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so those, many of you could quote those for me tonight, and I love preaching those to young people, when really that's for everybody. We all need to be a living sacrifice and give our life over to God. But I love preaching to young people and letting them know that God has a purpose and a plan and a will for them. And He certainly does for you. He has one for every person in this room tonight. He has something He wants you to do, a purpose and a plan that He wants you to accomplish tonight. And you can't do that without first giving your life to Him and being a living sacrifice. And I preach many times on that. But really, we get to the heart of the context in verse 4, where it says this in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." And of course, we know, we mentioned it a while ago, how you have a member down in Arizona. But we have, this is talking about the church. We have many members and one body. And we find out what the passage of Scripture, not only who He's talking to, but what it's about. It's revolving around the church, around a local New Testament church. And I like to challenge people that you will only find the will of God in and through a local New Testament church. And many Christians and many people today that you meet and you talk with them about the will of God, they'll tell you, you know, they're looking for it here or there, or they're, you know, they may have a job opportunity in this state or this place. But what about a local New Testament church? That's where God works, and that is where you'll find, and that's very closely connected to God's will in this passage of Scripture, and that's how you fulfill God's will, excuse me, through a local New Testament church. And so that's where you need to look. I'm not going to reteach that tonight. And then you go down and you have the gifts, and what it's basically saying in verse 6. Let's read verse 4 and 5 again. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And I'm not going to go in those tonight, but what they're basically saying is we're all different. We're gifted in different areas. And that, don't be afraid of that word prophecy in there. The word prophecy in New Testament simply means a preacher. It means someone that's going to preach. And so the prophet there is the preacher. But we're all different. And we should be. Praise the Lord for that, that we're all, not all like Joe, or, you know, or we're not, we'd all be sick tonight. But praise the Lord that we're not all the same. And you have Nick Mack there, and he can do things on that computer that I can only dream of. And I probably wouldn't even know how to record this message tonight. But we're all different. We all have different roles. And, you know, some of you ladies, I believe this is one of the most gifted churches as far as food is concerned. You have some amazing cooks in here, and I've never, this is the place where I've tasted, I think, the best food that I've ever tasted in my life. And it's amazing that a small church like this would have such amazing cooks. But you do, and you're gifted, and those are gifts from God, and you ought to praise the Lord for that. But in this passage of Scripture, we have, so if I could break it down this way for you, we have in the middle of the passage of Scripture, or verse 4, what it's all centered around, the church. And that's the mechanism, that's the machine, that's the motor, and that's God's motor. That's how God gets His job done here on earth today. He doesn't do it just by some guy going out solo, kind of like he did in the Old Testament. He had the prophets go out. He decided, hey, and I'm going to have a church. I'm going to have a group of believers that are going to be, and what are these group of believers supposed to be? You have the mechanism and you have what the machine is made up of. They're supposed to be sold out, living sacrifices for Jesus Christ, looking to perform God's will. And so that's what the membership, the body of Christ, is supposed to be made up of. It's supposed to be that way. It isn't always that way, but that's what it's supposed to be. And I would challenge you tonight to think on, if you're a member here, are you sold out? Are you a living sacrifice? Does your life belong to God? That's what a member of a church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a person that says, listen, I'm here at this church and I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And He's led me to this church and I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. And that's what the church is supposed to be. It's made up of sold out Christians that are looking to perform the will of God. So you have the mechanism, you have the machine, and you have what it's made up of in verses 1 and 2. Sold out Christians, saved and baptized Christians that are looking to perform the will of God. And it's one of the reasons the church exists. The church doesn't just exist so that we can come and hear preaching or come and hear music. I praise the Lord for that we get to do that and we get to hear the Word of God and be fed. But the church exists as a place of service that we could come and fulfill God's will, and a place where we could come and serve the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that. And I am serving the Lord tonight. On behalf of Temple Baptist Church in Reserve, New Mexico. I'm serving the Lord through that church tonight. That's where I serve the Lord. And I'm serving the Lord tonight out of that local New Testament church. And I praise the Lord that God set up an agency such as the church where we could come together and we wouldn't have to be alone. We wouldn't have to do it ourselves, but we could come together and pull together as a team and serve the Lord. I praise the Lord for that tonight. So you have the engine, you have the machine, you have what it's made up of. Now the rest of the passage of Scripture is what I would call the oil. It's really what keeps the machine running. It's what keeps things running smoothly. You see, if you were to go out to your car tonight, and I'm not a very good mechanic, but I do know this. If you went and drained all your oil out of your car, then said, okay, I'm going to take a drive down the freeway, and boy, you just gunned it and went as fast as you could, it wouldn't be long until you, what, blew your engine, until you were on the side of the road, till that engine was done. Why? Friction. Because without oil, there's friction. And I want to preach this message tonight, and I don't know if there's any friction going on right now. Please don't get me wrong. I don't know. In fact, as I was praying about this message and studying today, I thought, well, God, these are wonderful people. I don't see any friction. I don't see any problems. And of course, I'm not around. And I didn't call your pastor and pick his brain. Well, what's wrong with this person and what's wrong with that? No. And I don't know if there is anything, but I know this, that if you add the oil, it will not only cure any friction that exists now, but it'll help friction in the future. And listen, problems are going to arise in this church. I was just talking with a member there at Southwest Baptist Church today, at Pastor Sam Davison's church, and they were talking about a problem with a staff member that he's just having all kinds of illness, and he's on these medications, and it's just a terrible situation. And he's kind of going off, and the medication is just making him crazy, and it's just terrible, a terrible thing, and it's a terrible problem. But that church has 2,500 people in it, and the more people you have, the more problems you're going to have, the more friction can amount. And the more you grow as a church, and new members come in, and new people come in, people that are all different. Now, I don't expect another Don Tucker to come and sit down right there. And, you know, God, there's only one Brother Tucker. And I praise the Lord for that. No, I'm just kidding. No, I love what Brother Tucker does here and all that the Lord is using him in here at this church. But they're all going to be different. And so there's a warning. There's something that can happen when we're all serving God together. And it's... Sometimes we begin to look at others and wonder, why aren't they like me? Why aren't they gifted like I'm gifted? Or why don't they do it a certain way? Or why isn't the preacher doing it this way? This is the way I would do it. Or this is the way my old church did it. Or this is the way we would do it in my household. And why is this person different? But we have to accept the fact that we're all different. None of us are going to do it the same way. And the rest of the passage of Scripture is oil. Now, before I get into that, there are very, very many things in here. I'm going to go through them rather quickly tonight. But I want to just warn you of something. They say that the number one Christian giant killer, or the not the giant killer, but the number one giant that kills Christians today in America, giant of bitterness. Bitterness. You see, Satan knows that he's not going to get very many Christians strung out on heroin. You know, I mean, that's just something you know. That's not okay. That's not what I'm going to do. I do not want to waste my life taking this drug. I do not want to give my life to this drug. He knows that he might get a few, but he knows that he's not going to get many Christians off into alcoholism, to where they're drunk all the time and all they do is drink. And drink and drink and drink their life away. He knows that's not going to happen. It may happen sometimes. I'm not saying it can't. But he knows that. And so what I believe he tries to do in the church is, when this friction amounts, he tries to get people angry at each other. And he tries to create a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness, the thing about it is, if you get it out while it's small, it's pretty simple to deal with. You know, somebody offends you, and that's what bitterness comes from. Bitterness comes from failed expectations. When you expect somebody to do something and they don't, you can get bitter. Or you expect them to be a certain way and they don't, they fail in your expectations, and you get offended and you can get bitter. And it's amazing. The Christians over the years, and you can meet them out door knocking. You can sometimes tell who they are when you're preaching in a church. I'm not saying anything tonight, but I'm just saying sometimes you'll see the people, you know, just with shrewd faces and don't want to look at the preacher, and they're kind of looking at the wall the whole night. You know, I've seen that. I was preaching in a church not too long ago, and this young man just had his head down like this and was shaking it like that during the whole service. I'm like, what happened to this young man? And then the surprising thing was, he came forward at the end. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he was under conviction, but that was interesting. But you can usually, sometimes you can tell. But bitterness, when it's just a little root, when it's small, then you think of a tree. You think of just a sprout that has taken root. You know, that's not easy to just go and pluck it out. That's pretty easy. Plucking out a weed. That's pretty simple. But when it grows and it becomes a tree and it gets bigger and bigger and it takes root, boy, you can get it out. But then you're talking backhoe and chainsaws, and you're talking a lot of work. And so the best thing to do when you're offended is to deal with bitterness right away. And so I just want to warn you about something tonight. Listen, don't get bitter. There's a preacher named Jack Treber, and just a wonderful, humble man, has a church out in California. And he always says this. He always says, listen, don't get bitter, get better. Don't get bitter, it'll get better. You need to let God, you need to deal with that bitterness. And I wanted to preach on this tonight before we go through the rest of the revival. Because I want, if there's anybody in here tonight that has maybe some bitterness in their heart, I want you to get it right with God tonight. I want you to give it to the Lord. I want you to forgive. And let's go into the oil now. This is the oil that is going to keep Spokane Baptist Church from getting bitter. This is the oil that's going to keep the friction away and that's going to keep things running smoothly. Listen, if with the rest of this chapter of Scripture, if you'll have the attitude that it displays, you can go through anything. I mean, let's go through it. Look at this in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Listen, we need to love each other. No matter what happens, no matter if someone hurts you, or if someone lets the body down, or if someone is hurting, listen, we just need to love people without dissimulation, it says, and just continue to love them. Look at what it says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. God's people ought to have a hate for evil. Really, we ought to hate evil and love things that are good. Be kindly, in verse 10, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, I thank you very much. You've been so kind to me. Many of you have already shown me that you've preferred me this week already, and you've taken care of me, and I thank you. And that's the way we ought to be as Christians. Put each other first. And that's not easy to do. Preferring one another, saying, listen, I care more about you than I do myself. I'd rather see your furtherance, and I'd rather see you succeed than I would my own self. That's not easy to do, but that's the oil, you see. That's the thing that helps us not to get jealous, not to get bitter, is if we want to see others do good, and we're all constantly pushing up others and preferring them. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ought to be just fervent when we serve the Lord. In verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I was glad to see that box out there the other day for Natasha that you were distributing to the necessity of the saints. I was very glad to see that. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be given to hospitality. And I thank you, church, you are. And you're always so hospitable to me. But verse 14, here's a hard one, I believe. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Listen, that's not an easy one. I believe every summer I'm tested with this. These kids come in and you have to get up and preach to them, and they curse you. And I found even drawings and things that they've made, and you find them in your pews, or notes that they've written to each other where they curse you, and they say, what's this guy's problem, and why is he preaching this to me? And you know, the only thing you can do is turn around and bless them. You can't curse them back. You can't get bitter. You can't let that soak in. You just have to forgive them right away. Listen, if someone in the body of Christ here, if someone in this church body comes against you and starts to speak evil against you and starts to gossip about you, listen, when they curse you, just turn around and bless them. Bless them. When someone says, hey, so-and-so said so, and you know, there's always the instigators, and I don't know if you've had to deal with that much yet, but there's always the people in the middle that are running back and forth, and oh, did you hear what they said about you? And they're trying to get, you know, the thing worked up, the ones that want to see the fight, you know, and hey, so-and-so said this about you, and then they run back and did you hear what he said, or what are you going to say back, you know? Just turn around and say, hey, listen, I'm praying for that person. I want to see them do good, and I truly do love them and want to see, I don't know what they're going through right now, but bless them. In verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. When something good happens in this body, in the body of believers here, someone gets a raise, or someone gets a job, or someone has a baby, or whatever it may be, rejoice with them. I think so many times we're just covetous, and we think, you know, oh boy, why didn't that happen to me? Or why didn't I get that? Or we can kind of be jealous or something along those lines. But we're to rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep when someone's going through a trial. And I believe that you have been very good at that, and I know that you've had I mean, I'm shocked at the trials the church has gone through in the last year, and the things, just talking with some of you, the things that you've gone through. And I hope, I pray, and that you will continue to just come right alongside each other and say, listen, I'm weeping with you. And you see the kind of family atmosphere that's supposed to exist in the house of God. When one person goes through it, they all go through it. That this is the oil, you see. This is the thing that keeps it all running smoothly. And so many people, it's sad today, so many people are out of church or even are bitter because nobody came along and simply wept with them. You know, the pain came and the hurt came, and they saw and they looked around and everybody else was rejoicing and everybody else was doing good. And so what? They got bitter and they got a hard heart towards God, and that root of bitterness set in and they dropped out of the scene. And now they're no longer found in church. But you see, if you'll come along with people and go through it with them and see the victory with them, that's the way the Word of God says it's supposed to be. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, God is the judge of all. This is something he's really been trying to teach this preacher here. My first reaction is always, boy, you got to get him back. Or you got to fight him. This is not right. You got to stand up for justice. You have to do what's right. You have to stand and fight. But listen, God is the judge of all. And he's teaching me this, that we need to be patient. And we need to trust him. And I even have some family members that are going through some tough times right now. And they're going through it right now, so I don't want to say anything about it. And you might know some of those involved, or I just don't want to say anything about it. But my first, you know, when someone comes against my family members, the first thing I want to do is, you know, go out there and help them out with the situation and fight, you know. But I have to realize, and I was praying for the situation today, and God spoke to my heart and just said, listen, I know what they need. I know how to take care of this situation. I can do a far better job than you can, Joe. And that's true in this body. Don't feel like you have to go around and fix everything. Listen, don't feel like you have to, this person's wrong, so I'm going to go straighten them out, or this person is not doing right, so I need to go straighten them out. Now, I do praise the Lord for a good rebuke every once in a while, but sometimes, see, God knows what people need. God knows if someone just needs some good old-fashioned grace and mercy. You want to know something? When I was a teenager, and I was 16, 17, or 17 and 18, I went through a very rebellious stage. And I praise the Lord. The Lord protected me from a lot of things. And I praise the Lord for that. I could have gotten into so much trouble, and I could have lost so much, but the Lord protected me. But I just had a hard, rebellious heart towards God. I can trace it back. I believe it was because of the music I was listening to, and the rebellious music produces a rebellious person. And it's so important, young people, listen to me, girls, and if you're a young person, for anybody in here today, you need to listen to good music. Music influences we cannot even imagine. You don't understand that when you put the music in your ears, it is influencing you. And why in the world would you let an unsaved heathen influence your life, influence your emotions? And do you know this? And I play with this. I probably shouldn't do this, but brother, pastor, I play around with music a little bit at the camp. And, you know, we have skate night, and so I'll play some goofy clown music or something, you know, and and the kids, that, you know, they're having a good time, and I'll slow it down, and they go slower. But music influences even our attitude, and it influences, and it's amazing. If I put on some happy music, people will feel happy at the camp. If I put on, I usually don't do this, but if I put on some melancholy, sad violin playing or things, people aren't going to feel too good. They're not going to feel, and music has an influence on your emotions. So why would you let the outside world influence? And I was doing that as a young person. But when we should be influenced by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's the best thing. Boy, when you put on something that, and you can tell the difference when you listen to something that uplifts your spirit, and you can tell, boy, this is helping me spiritually, and I don't even have to do anything. I just listen to this music, and it's helping me out, and I love good Christian music, but I wasn't listening to the right music, and I was rebellious, and I remember when I would come under the chastising hand of God, like Pastor was preaching yesterday morning, I remember when chastisement would come, I would just stiffen my neck towards it, and I would just despise that chastisement and say, Lord, why don't you just take me home? Why don't you just kill me and take me home to heaven? And I just had that real stiff, rebellious attitude. But you know what got through to my hard heart? There was a time when I really just had gone as low as I'd ever been in my life and was just farther away from God than I'd ever been. And God blessed me. God was gracious. And He continued to love. And you know what the amazing thing was? He still stood right there by my side. And even though I was in sin, when I repented, I was able to turn back to Him. And He was still there with His just as much love and just as much grace as He ever had. You know what? That got through the tough guy's heart. That He continued to love me all that time. And even though I said, God, I don't want anything to do with You, He still wanted everything to do with me. And that's what got through. So you don't know what somebody's going through. They might not need judgment at this time. They might not, and what if we got what we deserved all the time, boy? That wouldn't be too good if we did. And we have to remember that God is the judge of all. He can see all and He knows all. And so here in this congregation, there are so many things where if we would just leave them up to God and pray and really seek the Lord, and ask Him, God, help this person. They're struggling here. And you could see the change in their life instead of coming down on people all the time and saying, listen, you need to change. You need to become like me because I'm this great person. But Jesus, God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God can do a far better job of taking care of the situation than we ever could. Let's go forward and remember this is the oil. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's a tough verse as well, because we don't really think when we read the Word of God, at least I don't many times, I don't think of who would be my enemy. And I can't imagine bringing in a terrorist like Osama bin Laden in here tonight and offering him some food. But he would be our enemy. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know what my first reaction would be to do if I saw that guy here tonight? And that's tough. That's tough. But listen, even if your worst enemy comes in the door of this church and says, I want to be a member, or maybe you become enemies. Listen, you have to be good to them. You have to love them. That's the oil that keeps it. And in verse 21, you say, well, this is a lot of stuff to remember. Well, I'm getting somewhere, and I believe Paul summarizes it here for us in verse 21. He says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, church. That pretty much sums up what he said there. That sums it up. When evil's done here, and listen, trials are going to come in this church and friction is going to mount and you never know who you're going to disagree with or who, what's going to happen. But if you'll have the attitude that no matter what happens, when evil is done, that you're going to overcome it with good, and you're just going to be good to the person, you're going to love the person, and you're going to just show them that hospitality and that love and respect that Jesus Christ would show them if He were here, then that can take care of so many things. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so if you're here tonight, and there's been some friction in your life, I really don't know what has been going on. I'm not, I don't have the gift of seeing or anything like that. And I don't believe people have that. I can't see what has gone on in your life. But all I know is God wanted me to preach this tonight and share this passage of Scripture with you. I don't know if it's for the present or for maybe something that might come up in the future. But I want you to really think about how have you been overcoming evil with good? Or has evil been getting the best of you lately? When, you know, maybe it's at work. Have you kept your testimony at work? Or are there guys that you're always going back and forth? You know, a Christian ought to be a Christian at work as well. And here in the house of God especially, have you gossiped about someone? Have you come against another member of the church? Have you come against the pastor or another staff member or anybody or anything like that? Or tonight, do you have any bitterness in your heart? Listen, bitterness can... I know people that got right with something that had some bitterness in their heart ever since they were a child. Just something they had held on to. Listen, bitterness just completely can kill your service for God. It can just lay you flat and render you ineffective for God. And so maybe there's some bitterness tonight that needs to be dealt with. But I also preach this message tonight so that in the future you might be able to just forgive the offenses when they come. That when something happens here in the church, and I mean, it's amazing, Pastor, what people fight over today in our churches. It's amazing what people leave a church over. I mean, here they are in the body. You're in this body. You're part of this body. And guess what? When you're missing, this body suffers. And it hurts because you're important in this church. God brought you here for a reason. And you have a role. And you have a place and a purpose. But Satan wants to see friction. And he wants to see this engine break down. He doesn't want to see this church go on. But the only way it can go on, and the only way we can really get on to some revival preaching, we have to get right with the Lord tonight. I don't know what it is tonight, and I don't know what you're maybe struggling with. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe you're still bitter at a mom that is elder or a dad, and people still hold that bitterness in from when they were kids. Maybe it's at a sibling. Listen, I have an aunt that is bitter. I believe it was my grandfather favored my dad more than he did the other kids, and that just made her bitter. And she won't even talk to my dad today. And it's sad. It's so sad that when Christmas comes and you know, my family won't, you know, she won't come and be around my dad during that time. And it's all because of bitterness. Something so stupid, sorry, and insignificant seemingly, but once it takes root, it just grows and grows and grows. So could you get right with God tonight and give up any bitterness and forgive whoever, it may not be somebody here. It may be somebody that offended you way in the past. It may have been a previous pastor. May have been in a previous church. It may have been in your family. But would you get healing tonight from God, from Jesus, and say, Lord, heal me of this bitterness. And forgive that person. Whoever, listen, if Christ could forgive us, I don't care who it is, we can forgive someone else. I mean, we can't even understand all that Christ had to forgive us of. We can't comprehend it. And then, when friction mounts, and maybe there is some in your heart tonight, would you just make the decision to not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good? To just say, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do the best thing. I'm going to love. I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to show grace. And I'm going to act as Jesus, I believe Jesus would have acted. Would you do that tonight? Bow your heads and close your eyes. And Father, we come before you, and I don't know, Lord, the hearts of the people tonight, but you do. Father, and I know that even in my own heart as a teenager, I had to deal with some bitterness. And I know how it can hurt so bad. But I pray tonight, God, that if there is any bitterness in hearts and any that is keeping somebody back from serving you, God, I pray that you would help them purge it out tonight. I pray that you would help them to get it right with you, to forgive the person that's done them wrong or whatever it may be. And then I pray that if there are any conflicts within the church, Father, that they would be resolved tonight. That folks would not only get right with you, but get right with each other, so that this church that you have so wonderfully put together and are continuing to grow and use, Lord, so that this church can continue to go on for you. And all these folks can continue to work together for your honor and your glory, God. I pray that we would simply make the decision tonight and have the attitude that no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens, that we would be not overcome with evil, but that we would overcome evil with good, Father. Help us tonight in the invitation to do business with you. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name, amen. If you'd